views expressed on the following show are not necessarily those of the guest, host, or SaratogaBroadcasting.com. Talk of the Town is a production of Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated. And now the host of Talk of the Town, Lynn Goodness and Rick Thompson.
Good morning on this beautiful Wednesday morning. Supposed to get some thunder showers later on this afternoon, but today, if you're out and about, enjoy it because it's going to be beautiful. Good morning, Rick.
Morning, Lynn. How you doing?
Oh, I would normally say fair to partly cloudy, but it's real sunny, so I guess I'm doing pretty good.
You know, our morning seemed to be really, really beautiful, and then mid-afternoon it just clouds over, rains, and we get the big thunderstorms tonight. I know they said a tornado touched down up north at one of the campsites, which I feel bad for people that are on vacation, and I have to put up with that, but... you know, it's better than snow.
Yeah, you don't have to shovel any of it.
That's right. So, how's your 4th of July go?
It was excellent. We had a great time. I had my cousin and his wife come in from New Hampshire, spent the night with us, and then his son and daughter-in-law and grandkids live up in Ticonderoga. So, Linda and I were going up to her brother and sister-in-law's house in Ticonderoga. So we all went up to Ty and then had a party at Todd's house, the Gary's son, and had a great time, good people. And then we went from there the next day to Burlington to visit Linda's sister and brother-in-law. And Brian, the brother-in-law, he's a clerk of the works. He has his own business up there, but he's also a cabinet maker.
Oh, okay.
And the family had, Linda's family had a inboard Lyman lap strip boat, all wood. Oh. And Brian had redone the entire boat and had the motor repaired and all of that. And so that afternoon and evening, we went out on Lake Champlain and had a few cocktails and some hors d'oeuvres and stuff like that. And it was just absolutely gorgeous out there.
Yeah.
And we had a fantastic time.
Well, that's neat. It was really was a nice weekend. And, even the 4th of July, I don't know, here it was overcast. It really wasn't too warm, and it really didn't matter without the sun because it was pleasant sitting outside and,
right,
and having a cookout. And Saturday and Sunday were absolutely gorgeous. So,
we had a great time this weekend.
Well, that's good. So, how's Linda's retirement working out?
She is enjoying it, but she said it just feels like she's on vacation right now.
Right now, yeah.
It's going to have to be a couple of weeks before she realizes it's an elongated vacation.
Right. Well, you know, I talked with several teachers over the years who have retired, and they said come September, when, you know, they don't have to go back to school, mm-hmm, and they see the school buses go by, they kind of have a twinge, yeah. You know, but then after the first week, they said it's gone.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So, well, of course, Linda was a confidential secretary for a couple of the assistant superintendents, and so she worked during the summer, too. She worked year-round.
Right.
So the school buses don't bother her.
Yeah, really. She probably can't even see them. But,
no.
You know, retirement's a hard thing anyway. I mean, I think when you realize that, you know, your work career is finally over, except, you know, I mean, you can always get a part-time job,
right,
if you can, it's another chapter of life that you have to start over and just make plans for, you know?
Yep, that's true.
And
she'll probably be called in to... substitute or fill in or something like that, and she doesn't have a problem with that. I would prefer that she go in under a different circumstance.
Yeah. Well, you know, the
as a consultant.
Yeah, that's true. The thing about retirement is that the spouses have to get used to one another.
Well, that's why I went right back to work as soon as she retired.
That's right.
Because I know she can't put up with me 24/7.
No, and it's kind of hard to hide in the car for, eight hours a day.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, I was working at Galway School, and the doctor said I couldn't do it anymore. And prior to my going to my heart doctor, Linda had made the statement that you cannot retire before me. Well, I beat her by 3 days.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because the doctor said I couldn't do it, so I had to turn in the note, and
and that was it.
That was the end of it. So now I'm over at the track.
Yeah, and you started already.
I started Monday, yeah.
Yeah, I don't go until Friday, next Friday, and there's only, eight more days to the opening.
The 18th.
18th, yep. Yeah, a week from this coming Friday is the actual opening of the track, but you started a little earlier. We have different positions, so I'm inside. You have one of the gates that
right.
you have to manage.
Yep.
You're outside, I'm inside. Now, if it rains, do you have to get the rain gear and everything?
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
Well,
that's kind of a pain in the neck. So sometime today I plan on going to Army Navy store or maybe up to Southlands Falls to a store up there that specializes
in
construction equipment and that kind of thing. You get my own
yellow long
raincoat, my
sure.
own vest, because it's a pain in the neck at 1 o'clock when my shift ends.
Right.
To have to go back to Union Avenue, which
right,
is a real trip,
yeah.
in order to turn the raincoat and vest back in.
Right. Yeah, it is. That's one of the bad things. What's even tougher is when they run out of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then you got the guys outside directing traffic, and they don't have enough rain gear.
Right.
And I'm fortunate. I'm undercover, so
and I'm not.
I don't have to worry
about
it.
So I'm out stopping traffic and letting horses
that's right.
cross Nelson Avenue.
That's
so.
Right. Well, that's a good job for you, you know.
Well, at least I don't have to lift the horses. All
that's
I have
right.
to do is cross the
that's
horses.
That's right. And you don't even have to tie. Isn't it amazing how the horses have the right of way up there? I mean, you have to, if you're driving or walking, you have to stop dead in your tracks.
Yep.
I mean, and.
Well, you're supposed to stop dead in your tracks. Not everybody does that, and
oh,
that's
really?
When things get a little iffy.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm walking, when I walk from the parking lot in the back on East Avenue and walking across, there's several horse crossings, or they'll even come down that road, and you just stand on the side of the road and wait. I mean, you don't make any movements or whatever, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I know there are people that think they can do whatever they want with
yeah.
them in front of
I mean,
horses.
Last summer, some motorcycle guy, as the horses were crossing right in front of him, he revved his engine, and of course it was like a Harley with a lot. And one of the horses went, if there was a ceiling, it would have hit it.
No kidding. That's what a dummy.
And then some of the cars have a tendency to want to creep up and creep up and creep up. Well, that's all well and good, but if a horse decides that he's going to move towards that car
right.
and crash into it, not only does the horse get hurt, but so does the car,
so
believe me.
Car, and these horses are expensive. Hey, our number here is 518-290-6601. And I want to welcome the listeners from South Korea, Japan, and Thailand. We got a surge of listeners over there. We have over 1,100 likes on our Saratoga Broadcasting Facebook page. And I got a lot of nice emails saying that they listen to the show and they listen to the music. And I just want to say thank you. And, I hope we keep entertaining you. So
how many dislikes did we get?
Well, they don't tell you how many dislikes, but I think that's pretty good. Us going up from, you know, maybe 500-600 likes to up over 1,100 in 1 week. So they find us, and we appreciate anybody who listens. Excuse me. So, you know, today's July the 9th. We're a few days away from the 4th of July, and everybody that I've talked to had a great 4th. And, you know, what's a sad thing, Lynn, is that in itself isn't sad, but the ballet's back in town. And they're here. Last night was the opening night, and they're here till the 13th. Which I think is...
it's only an 8-day run or something
right.
Like that, which is kind of ridiculous.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of sad. It used to be a month. It used to be 4 weeks.
Yep.
And
and then the orchestra would come up and take the remainder of the summer, plus
right.
all the individual acts that they
right.
put on.
All the other concerts. So we're down to 1 week for the ballet, and I guess they announced that next year it's up to 2 weeks. But still, it's just not the same without them in town for a month. And but they did have opening night last night, and they had the fireworks, even though we had all the rain, or it could have been the thunder, and they did away with the fireworks. It was hard to tell.
Well, normally, because of where I live, if anything's going on over at SPAC, I hear it, especially if it's like a Dave Matthews band or something. I can sit right in my driveway and listen to Dave.
Oh, yeah. Well, a funny story about that, you know, I'm a Moody Blues fan, and this was several years ago. They were at SPAC, and they had a PBS concert of them on TV, and my wife was painting in the garage. She was painting some trim to get it, you know, not painting, she was priming.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go out and ask her a question. Well, the song that was on TV happened to be the song that they were playing at SPAC.
Really?
And it, unbelievable. And the wind was blowing just so that I could pick up, you know.
Right.
Because both of us aren't that far from SPAC. I mean, and it was just funny listening in the garage. And I'd go back in the house and the song would be playing in the house. So that was kind of funny. But have you heard some of the comments about Paul McCartney's concert down there?
No,
Albany?
I have not.
Oh, unbelievable, people have been saying. He played there Saturday night and down at the Troy, I think it was.
Troy Music Hall? No.
No, Albany. Albany well, Center.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It used to be the Knickerbocker
yeah,
and all that other
yeah.
stuff. And Pepsi and I don't know what it's called today.
Packed House. The Times Union Center, I think.
That's what it is. Yeah. Times Useless.
And he played for 3.5 hours straight, no break. One of the funny things that happened in during the concert was the couple in the back were holding up signs, and one of them, the lady was holding one up that said, "He wants to marry me." And the guy was holding up a sign that said, "I'm 68 and I have the ring." Well, during the concert, McCartney had one of his stagehands go down and bring him up on stage. So he got up on there and he gave the woman a hug and he gave the guy a hug and shook both hands. And he said, "Well, I'll only let you do this if you can sing." I guess there's a song that he made, 68,
yeah.
I'm 68, and the guy started singing it, and McCartney was playing guitar for him. He says, "Okay, you made it," and he goes, "You can propose now." So the guy gets down on his knees, and the lady said yes, and they got up, and McCartney hugged him again and congratulated him, and I thought that was pretty neat, you know.
Now, the guy, 68 years old, got down on his knees, and that was he able to get back up again?
Well, it was funny because McCartney helped him back up, took his elbow and helped him back up, and McCartney himself is 71,
yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like... But I know several people on my Facebook, several people that I know from back home and that I went to school with had gone down there, and they said it was absolutely the best concert they've ever seen.
Really?
They said he was just unbelievable. And this was his first concert. He had canceled a bunch of concerts about a month and a half ago because of he had gotten sick.
Mm-hmm.
And this was his first one back. And they said you'd never know it. Three and a half hours. But it was 3 hours straight. And then they encores. He did two of those. So I think that's pretty neat, you know.
Well, for 71, he still got it.
Oh, yeah. Well, all these guys, you know, Mick Jagger and
Lips.
Lips and Keith Richards, who is defies human logic how he can still be alive.
Well, I'll tell you now, I heard coming in this morning, Mick Jagger is going to be in big, big trouble.
Why is that?
Because he has a 100% record for the team that's playing soccer.
Mm-hmm.
He votes, or he bets on the team that he wants to win, and 100% of the time they lose.
That's right.
And he was in the audience at the German-Brazil game.
Really? And I bet you picked Brazil.
Yeah, duh. He didn't want to break his record, I guess.
I wonder who he's picking in the finals.
I don't know.
Germany or the Netherlands. But, yeah, that's right, because his first wife, I think, was Brazilian.
Yeah.
And his son is Brazilian, so poor Brazil, they lost by a chunk.
Yeah, 7-1.
That's really unheard of.
Germany scored 5 goals in the first half.
And I didn't think Germany was all that great.
No, they beat us.
I know, but not, I mean, it wasn't...
it wasn't big.
No, it wasn't. And I think, wasn't it in, no, it wasn't in overtime. They did beat us, though, but that was interesting. But, yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see who he picks today, and then you bet against the other team. You bet for the other team, you know.
Well, speaking of sounds and that, I guess Commissioner Mathiesen has some sounds outside of his office.
I think that's terrible.
That are very disturbing to not only him and his staff, but also his patients as a dentist. I agree with you. I don't think it's right that they do that.
And but they're right in the middle of the road. I don't know if you saw the picture, but these people, not in the middle of the road, but they're standing in the road because if they're on the sidewalk, it's private property. So they can't stand in front of his dental office on the sidewalk, plus they block people going in. So they're standing in the road, which should be illegal in the second place. And I don't understand it myself, although the family's got a huge civil lawsuit. I don't know. Do you want to explain why? Or
well, apparently their son the police were attempting to arrest him because he had pushed his girlfriend against a wall on Caroline Street, and he ran away from the police. Now, this is the story. Ran away from the police to not be arrested, went up on some construction scaffolding, and fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And when he hit the ground, he had head trauma and ended up dying.
Right. He was in a coma for like 8 months.
But his family doesn't think that he fell off the scaffolding. Apparently, they feel the police did something that they weren't supposed to do. And Commissioner
Mathiesen
did an investigation, took the police word for it. I mean, the police were the only ones there besides the kid that fell.
And they do have some film that I guess they released snippets of it that showed the police, you know, not doing anything, trying to get him down from the scaffolding, not physically, but trying to talk him down. And he was jumping from scaffold to scaffold, so as I understand the story. And you know that construction behind that North Shire bookstore and back in Lonely's parking lot was terrible because it's so low in the back.
Right.
So anyway, The family has hired an attorney and filed a civil suit for a huge amount of money. I mean, we're talking tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars. And the attorney is Musser, Kurt Musser, and he said that he didn't believe he fell from the scaffolding, as police have
here reported. It says, in this article, it says that Bob Katzman is the attorney.
Oh, I'm sorry, Katzman. It was Katzman. Why I said Mustard, I don't know. But you're right, Bob Katzman is the attorney. And and they are going to protest weekly until Mathiesen is out of his position, which the election is until next November, and it's not clear that he will not win election or that he'll run for election, but he's been a pretty good commissioner, so I don't know, they may be out there for a lifetime, who knows.
Well, he's been on our other radio show too, and he seems to be a very smart guy.
Well, he is a smart man.
And I don't think that he's pulling any punches, but he did say that the people shouting into a dental office can be very disruptive to not only the staff and himself, but patients don't need that either.
Well, I don't know how you can protest and yell like that out in front of a private business. I mean, it just seems to me that there would be some law against that. I don't know. But.
Well, you know, the family's adamant that they want something done, and they're not going to stop until it goes one way or the other. Well, what do they want done?
I know.
I mean, if there are snippets of films showing that the police didn't do anything wrong and what the police reported was correct, what do they want corrected? I mean, it sounds to me like it's already corrected.
Well, they won't accept anything other than the fact that somebody will come out and say, well, the police were wrong, you're entirely right, and you know, then they can win their $120 million lawsuit or whatever. And but
still not going to bring the kid back.
No, it isn't. It's not going to bring the kid back. And number one, what I say is that he shouldn't have ran away from the police. He ran. Police identified themselves and, you know, ordered him to stop, and he ran, jumped on scaffolding, and I don't know. The story just won't die. No pun intended. But the story just keeps on going and going and going. The family keeps it up, and like you said, I don't know what they expect to have happen. I just don't understand it. But that's probably one of the big things in Saratoga that's going on. One of the other things I read in the paper the other day, Lynn, is that they're trying, there was a editorial in the Times Union where the editors are suggesting that New York take their time in opening any casinos in the state. Because there has been one of the New Jersey casinos has filed for bankruptcy, and one of the casinos in Michigan, I think, excuse me, in Michigan filed bankruptcy, and they're saying that, you know, that might be an omen, you know, putting five casinos here in New York State, and the New Jersey casino hasn't had any competition from New York, so if they can't make it, what makes us think that five casinos can make a go of it in here in New York? And in a way, that is kind of true, I think.
Well, I'm sure that the New Jersey, and I don't know about the Michigan ones or that, but the New Jersey casinos were making a ton of money when they first came into being.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of people who used to have to go all the way to Vegas to enjoy themselves with entertainment and gambling and that kind of thing. And apparently, it's kind of worn out
right
down in New Jersey.
Now, we have Turning Stone here, But will five more casinos in New York make it better, or will it just divide the money up where none of them are making a go of it?
Well, the other thing, too, is Turning Stone is run by the Indians.
Right.
And you know, I've got a T-shirt that I bought down in Florida, and it says, it's got a picture of a bunch of older Indians standing, and above the picture, it says, sure, you can trust our government. And below the picture, it says, just ask an Indian.
Yeah.
I love that T-shirt because it's so true. And that just ask an Indian. They've been screwed forever. And now they're starting to get screwed again because they're, you know, the state's stepping in and saying, well, you're not paying us enough tax money and you're not doing this, that, and the other thing. Whereas they were allowed to open their own casino on their reservation,
right,
and not be taxed.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, they are getting a raw deal. You know, like we have a lake up here, Indian Lake, and it's now going to be changed to a Native American lake. And
you're talking about that political correctness garbage again.
And so that, you know, things like that are getting a little carried away. 290-6601, if you want to give us a call, 290-6601. And you can ask Lynn and I any question you want. We're ready for any question that can be posed.
We can listen to any question. We might not be able to answer it, but we can listen to it. I see the Munson House is back in highlight again.
Yes.
And as it says, they're no stranger to the fight against the city center putting up the parking garage. And the thing that bothers me is Mark Baker, who is the CEO of the city center and doesn't pay taxes to the city and all that other stuff and gets all the room taxes that are collected. The city has made the planning board the lead agency on the
construction
and whether or not it should go in. And Baker doesn't feel that parking garage that he wants should be under any of the city zoning ordinances.
Right.
Well, what makes him think he's so darn special?
Well, one of the funny things that I laughed when I read that was with the Racino expansion, he was fighting for the city to be the lead agency and that they follow all the zoning go before all the zoning boards and the design review committee board and all the planning board and that. But now that the ball's in his court, he doesn't want any of that.
Yeah.
They want the city center to be lead agency and not have to follow any of the rules because they are governed by the state. Okay, it is a state agency that runs the city center. Well, it's a state agency that runs the Racino. It's the gaming commission. So it's almost the same story, but it depends on whose side
and
whose, you know, which is kind of funny. I have mixed feelings on that garage. I think, you know, it's going to be a charge. You're going to have to pay a fee to park in the garage. And I think we had talked about this before, of course, about paid parking on Broadway, which I don't think is a bad thing. I certainly don't think that it would kill people to have to pay for 2 or 3 hours to be on Broadway.
I think that the paid parking is the way to go. Lake George is doing it, and they... not just on Canada Street in Lake George, but all the side streets also. I think it would be a lot less expensive for a tourist to dump in a couple quarters to park for 2 hours rather than to come back and find a ticket on their car.
Right, or have to stop what they're doing and move their cars, so they, you know,
right,
into another 2-hour spot.
But, you know, paying a ticket is not going to, it's not going to be a, just a couple quarters.
Oh, no, no, especially not here. And, you know, it's funny. But, I agree, and I think that would help with the maintenance of the streets and,
yep,
and of the parking garages. I also think that it would be a smart idea to take the top floor of the three parking garages we have and make them permit parking only for employees downtown, and have businesses purchase, and you can make it not too costly, but make it so that, you know, one or two or three employees of a business downtown has a permit that they know they can come down and park,
right,
and it won't take parking away from shoppers or tourists that,
right,
that are trying to find a place. They know the top floor is dedicated to employees. So.
And if the if that were to come to fruition, then some of the employees where there's more than five people, let's say, as employees, and a lot of the restaurants have this going on and,
sure,
and that kind of thing, those people could carpool with the people that have the permit.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think that would be a good idea, too. And, well, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I know they've got it. They put that parking garage, the new one there behind the city center, on an accelerated pace, which I think is very, very foolish for Saratoga Springs. They want all the information and all the specs and that approved by September, so they can start building, excuse me, in the beginning of September. Well, you and I both know that from now until Labor Day, Saratoga is not Saratoga. It's a lot of tourists are in town. A lot of Saratogians rent their homes out to tourists. They're away. They're out of town. And I don't believe anything as important as that should be rushed through
during
the summer. And, you know, and if they try to do that, then it always seems to me that there's something going on that, you know, they don't want all the people to know about. So, and people aren't going to have the time to voice whatever opinions they have, because you're not going to, first of all, it's very hard to find parking downtown in the summer. And, you know, rightly so, the tourists are here and that. So if you have a public hearing at City Hall and you can't get to it, I mean, it seems kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, most people here that live here in Saratoga are busier than cranberry merchants in the summertime.
That's right.
And having those open house meetings, most of them can't get to it.
That's right.
And so you don't have a full opinion being given by
the
enough
citizens.
People.
That's right. I do have to ask you a question, though. How busy are cranberry merchants in the summer?
Well, haven't you seen any of those ads on TV? They're standing up to their
waist
in cranberries.
Yeah.
So,
but that's how you...
And they pick them up one at a time, so
yeah,
that's, you know...
I know, with tweezers.
Yeah.
But that's how they grow cranberries, you know,
yeah,
in bogs. They have to be up to their waist in,
yes,
water. Have you ever seen a cranberry bog?
I have.
Okay. And remember when they used to make the cranberry relish with the orange and oranges in it and that, or raspberries? They had special bogs for that. They had cranberries with oranges that grew in it. So when they harvested the cranberries.
So it was a hybrid.
It's a hybrid.
A hybrid cranberry.
Hey, I got a thing off of the news, a story off the news that's pretty sad. And this happened in Syracuse, where your son lives. Authorities say a 13-year-old boy is in critical condition after being shot in the head on a Syracuse street. The police say that the shooting occurred around midnight, and officials say that the boy was taken to Upstate University Hospital, where he's listed in critical condition. And they say that two males are spotted running from the scene after the shooting. You know, it's a sad story, but what's a 13-year-old doing out at midnight? Is a question you have to ask yourself.
And, well, you know, sometimes it's kind of tough, especially if it happens to be, and I don't have any idea whether it is or not, but if it's a one-parent family. I know when I was growing up, I was 6 years old when my father was killed crossing the street in Lake George, and my mom had to work all the time. And there was nobody, per se, other than my sister, to keep an eye on me. Mm-hmm. Now, I wasn't out until midnight and stuff like that. That was kind of ridiculous at 6 years old. But as I got a little older, I could stay out later,
mm-hmm.
And nobody would know. Because mom was working.
Right.
But my father had been extremely highly respected in Lake George. And I knew that I could pretty much do anything I wanted to do as long as I didn't tarnish my father's name.
Right.
And that's what the kind of creed that I grew up on. And fortunately, I was able to stick to it.
And that's good. And you're probably right. I mean, there are so many one-parent families today that, and like you say, and the parent may have been working, but it is just a sad thing when you read a 13-year-old was shot like that. And
when my son first moved to Syracuse, he's a teacher out there, and he had an apartment in the Strathmore area, and he was up on top of a hill. It was a really nice apartment. At the bottom of the hill, there were drive-by shootings going on all the time. So when he got married, they moved because the gangs were starting to move up the hill.
Sure.
And let's face it, almost every town, no matter how big or small, has some kind of a gang going on.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, it's number one, it's either the drugs that they want to control, or number two, there's, you know, they're out to just be in a controlling situation.
Yep.
Like you say, every city and village and town has some sort of gang activity, and it's a shame today the way things are, and a lot of times the police can't do much about it. And
a lot of times it starts out with kids who are bullies in school.
Yeah.
The bullying in school is just getting out of hand, too.
Yeah, it is. It is. But you know, though, when we were in school, I don't know about you, but we kind of took care of bullies ourselves. But today, if you do that, then you're in trouble.
Well, the lawyers are the things that have done that.
Yeah.
As a teacher, if you look at a kid cross-eyed today, you could lose your job. That's really going to extremes, but there was a teacher that I know of who had taught for 23 years, and little Johnny was had ADHD or whatever you call that, and so she went over to him and just put her hand on his shoulder. Just put her hand on his shoulder. And said, "Johnny, you're going to have to pay attention, because if you don't pay attention, then you're going to miss out on all this stuff, and when we have a test, you're not going to pass." And the kid went home and told his parents that the teacher had jerked him around almost out of his seat and all this other stuff. She lost her job. 23 years of teaching, and she lost her job because this little creep lied.
Well, you know, they always believe the kid.
The parents and the students are the ones that run the schools.
Yep. And it's...
I found that out the hard way.
Yep. Oh, I know you did. I know you did. Not only were you bullied and beat up on by 6 or 7 fourth graders, but...
That's not what I was talking about, but I didn't want to bring that one up.
No, I didn't think you would. That's why I did.
No, I found out the hard way, though, when I was working.
Hey, listen, a man is fine. I don't know if you were watching the game where this was taking place. It was a Sunday game on ESPN.
Yeah.
And that night, it was a Sunday night baseball game. The Yankees were playing the Boston Red Sox. And they showed a picture of, they showed on the screen a guy who was sleeping during the game. And
he must have been an avid baseball fan.
He must have been.
Yeah.
Well, either that or he had a little bit too much, he imbibed too much or whatever.
Or it was a game that the Yankees really beat the heck out of the Sox.
The Red Sox.
And he was a Red Sox fan.
That's right. It could be. But he's filed a $10 million lawsuit against ESPN, its announcers, and others, including the Yankees, for defamation and intentional infliction of emotional distress, contending he was mocked while caught sleeping in his seat. Andrew Robert Rector admits in court documents he napped, in quotes, during a Boston Red Sox New York Yankees game on April 13th. And I will say, someone hit a home run and everyone stood up cheering, and this guy was just sleeping away. So if he was napping, I think he would have woke up. But he says that the commentators, Dan Schulman and John Kruk, unleashed an avalanche of disparaging words against him. The suit said they used words like fatty and stupid. I mean, I remember that game, and the guy did look funny. I mean, it was fun. And they said Rector said he suffered substantial injury to his character and reputation, and mental anguish, and loss of future income, and loss of other earning capacities. And the lawsuit was filed in Bronx Supreme Court. If this guy wins $10 million, I'm going to a game and fall asleep. I'm bringing a pillow. And I'm going to fall asleep. And I'll tell you, this is I don't think the guy stands a chance in heck of winning anything. But I got to tell you, that was one of the funniest things. I happened to see that while it was going on, and those, the announcers were funny. I mean, they were, kept the camera on him and said, okay, now is he going to move? is he? And then they hit the home run and they said, geez, he didn't move a bit. I wonder if he's okay.
So. And the comments attributed to ESPN and the announcers were not said in the telecast, according to an ESPN spokesman. The claims presented here are wholly without merit.
Well, then we'll keep on top of this, because I think it's a riot. I think it's a funny story. And
well, like I said, he must have been a Boston Red Sox. Yeah. And they are a softball team, aren't they?
Oh, they are. Yeah. And people are known to fall asleep watching their games. So, you know, that's nothing wrong with that. Leonard alluded to the fact that it's a gorgeous day this morning, and we talked about the weather here in the Northeast. And I guess because of the humidity that we've been having and the nice weather, warm weather, there's always a chance of thunderstorms. And the chances around here have turned into...
Not chances. No, they've been definitely thunderstorms.
Thunderstorms, and they've been accompanied by heavy winds and hail. And you had mentioned that there was a tree down that got struck by lightning the other day over at
the Nelson
Avenue on the track. And even though lightning and thunderstorms, I like when I'm in the house, I like to watch them. You know, I think they're kind of neat as long as nobody gets hurt in that. But boy, it seems like from the winter having all that cold weather and the wind, and now having these storms, that we are getting some wind coming from the west. And I don't know, and they're having some crazy dry weather out there. So, you know, I think we're getting more rain. I wish we could send some of the rain out that way, because, boy, they are dry.
We got a video last night around 8 o'clock from my son, who lives in Syracuse, and The video was taken from inside his house looking out on the back deck. And they have a table out there with an umbrella that's closed. And it was, the wind was so hard, it almost tipped the table over.
Well.
And he said, it's headed your way. And lo and behold, it finally got here. But, I mean, it's been horrendous around here.
Yeah. I mean, in the evenings, nighttime, yeah, or daytime, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous out. And so, I guess they always say, and when it's very, very humid, that when the sun starts to go down and the temperature starts to cool off, even though it may not feel like it's cooling off, but without that sunshine, it does start to cool off. That's when the different lows and highs start to form, and that's when you get the thunderstorms.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever. As long as we're, you're done early at the track because you go in early.
Yeah, I go in at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, and I get out, I go in at 11 and I'm out at 7, but hopefully this pattern will stop and we won't get that rain. But a week from Friday, gosh, and then summer's over.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and you go to Labor Day and bada bing.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I know that summer has started when on West Avenue you go by Minogue's
mm-hmm.
beverage place
mm-hmm.
and the farm stand is up out there.
Yep, BJ's Farm Stand.
BJ's Farms, and their corn is there. It is by far the best corn around. Yeah.
And they have all kinds of, I mean, tomatoes and zucchini.
Tomatoes and cucumbers and cantaloupes and yeah. You name it.
Yeah, I mean, they're good produce.
And that's not their only stand. There's in Syracuse, or not Syracuse, but Schuylerville and all over the place.
Yeah.
But, man, summer's here when that corn is out.
You're right, and it is good.
And I drove by there this morning on my way over here.
Oh, you did.
And it's not there yet.
It's not there yet?
Not there yet.
And I'm surprised because, maybe like the middle of July. Maybe the middle of July.
Well, and with the kind of wet weather that we've been having, that doesn't really help. You'd think that watering would help. And some watering does help. But
right.
The kind of rain we've been having cannot.
No, you need
corn
the sun.
Corn stalks down.
Right, you need the sun, and that helps. Hey, I've got to tell you that this Saturday on Talk Saratoga, we have a special guest, Lois Celeste, who's the director, and Tracy Gerson, who's the marketing director, will be on, and we're going to be talking about various programs that are upcoming, the new programs that they have upcoming, plus their chicken barbecue on July the 22nd, which is a Tuesday. It's held, they hold it together with Franklin Community Center. The proceeds benefit both of them. And I, you know, Lynn, I cannot believe the price. Number one, there's a Saratoga chicken barbecue place here, and I'm not going to mention their name, but I was shocked. We hadn't gotten chicken there in quite a couple of years, and you remember what we used to use at the size of the chickens we had at the senior center. Well, they used to serve the same size chicken. But now, I think they found a farm that grows pygmy chickens because the size...
They're called pigeons.
Yeah. The size of the chicken breast was... you can't see it here on the radio, but it was about this big. And it was $8. And I just couldn't believe. Now, my wife could never eat a whole half chicken before. Well, on this one, she ate the half a chicken, and she was ready for more. But anyway, getting back to the present, this will be a barbecue held at the Saratoga Adult and Senior Center, and Brooks Barbecue from Oneonta will be doing the cooking. And a complete dinner, half chicken with three sides, is $10. And
you know, if you recall, Rick, you and I are the ones that started this chicken barbecue stuff.
Oh, most definitely.
At the Senior Center.
Yeah, and the dinners that that we used to put on,
yep.
You and I put on. But a $10 chicken barbecue dinner, half a chicken with the sides, is a fantastic price. And you'll be helping out two not-for-profits, the Senior Center and Franklin Community Center. So if you need tickets or you're interested in going, you can call either one or go online to SaratogaSeniorCenter.org or FranklinCommunityCenter.org and inquire about the tickets or stop over and pick up tickets.
And if I'm not mistaken, they're still doing not only takeout, but you can eat there also.
Yes, you can. You can.
So, you know, walk to the center and eat inside.
They also have a rib dinner if you want ribs instead of chicken. And
right.
I think that might be a dollar more. But anyway, it's a good cause, and, you know, we urge you to go. You know, you alluded to the fact that Brazil got beat by Germany yesterday.
What's that got to do with chicken?
Well, I think they were a bunch. They looked like a bunch of chickens.
Oh, okay.
Yesterday. Now, have you been following it all?
No,
you don't watch it.
No.
All? Well,
because I don't understand the game.
Well, I don't either. But
I mean, those guys are athletes.
Yeah.
Holy Christmas!
Yeah.
All they do is run.
I know, and I don't understand. You know, the offsides part and things like that, but I'm going to watch part of the Argentina Netherlands game today. That should be a good game because both teams are, I think, should have ended up in the tournament. They're both good teams, and they have, they say, two of the best attacks in the tournament and five of the world's best forwards. So I think it should be a really good game. Hopefully it won't be 8-1. And you know what I like, though? I saw a game, the Netherlands, the other day, Sunday, I think it was, or Saturday, and it was tied after regulation. They play two 45-minute periods, and like you say, they do nothing but run.
Right.
No timeouts. And then if they're tied after the 90 minutes, they play 2:15 periods, which it's not sudden death. I mean, they play for the 30 minutes. And then if they're still tied, then they go for the shootout. And that, to me, is the...
That's the exciting part.
That's the exciting part,
yeah
because... it takes a real good goalie to block a shot when you're as close as the...
And a lot of games have been won on a shootout.
Oh, yeah. Well, Netherlands won on the shootout, and it was just a really good, really good game to watch, and I was kind of glad that I saw that game, and this game here has got to be a good one. Two more things that we want to talk about before we go, Lynn, is that on Sunday, July 13th, is the 34th annual open house at the Saratoga Racetrack from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And they have a large amount of things that people can partake in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
they have live music and pony rides for the kids, and that means you can't get on one, Rick.
No.
Bounce inflatables, and the real neat thing is the backstretch tours. Plus, last year, for the very first time, the new tower on the Oklahoma track, that may be open on Sunday also.
Well, they're having two races over there on the Oklahoma track.
That tower is awesome. I don't like taking a shift over there because it's boring to just stand there, but to watch the horses train, amazing.
Yeah.
And the tower It's got a whole bunch of brass plaques. Say that fast.
Right, I know, brass plaques.
And that tell the history of the race course.
Oh, that's neat.
And it's just really, really interesting.
And that was all donated, of course, by Mary Lou Whitney.
Right.
And
that's why they call it the Whitney Tower.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very good. You can also buy your season passes over there at the track on Sunday. There'll be employees walking around selling the passes that Stewart's has been selling. So I think it's $35 for
grandstand
admission for the 40 days.
Right.
And I think it's $45 for clubhouse admission, which if you're going there more than 4 or 5 days during the meet, it's worth buying the pass. And so, yeah, you know, didn't you used to go to the backstretch when you used to go up, I remember, once a year and used to go early in the morning and save a picnic table?
Yeah, that was amazing.
Was that in the backstretch?
It was right in the front.
It was in the front.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Like, but could you see the horses, or was it behind?
It's behind the grandstands.
Okay.
But the horses would walk by that area.
Oh, okay. So
and then you could just walk into the grandstand area.
Okay.
And there wasn't any charge to walk up to the fence.
All right. I know where you are now. For some reason, I always thought you were down in the backstretch area, but I know where you are. You're in where the picnic area is and where the horses run. The last announcement I have.
Well, before you get into that announcement,
yeah,
I noticed in the, or I read in the Saratoga newsletter yesterday under the sound off.
Yes.
This family was going to be has been coming up here for years and years and years, and because they've raised the price from $3 to $5, they're no longer going to participate. Well, you know what? If you can't afford another $2, you shouldn't have been coming here at $3.
And where can you go for a day's entertainment for $5 admission? I mean, you go to the movies and it's $12 or $13 today. Go to a ball game and it's $35 or $40.
Yep.
So anybody that says that, they just don't know what they're talking about.
Right. Now you can go with your last announcement.
Well, Talk of the Town.
Yes.
Our show. We'll only be doing one show starting today, which will air on Wednesdays at its normal time of 9 to 10 for the next 6 weeks. Then we'll be going back to Wednesday and Fridays. But the show will have hosts Rick Thompson and Tony Podlowski, who is the head of the press box at Saratoga Race Course. And we'll be discussing the upcoming races of the current week at Saratoga Race Course. And it should be a really interesting show. And Tony's has a wealth of knowledge about horses, the racing end of it, and so we'll be doing that from Wednesdays from 9 to 10. And then Lynn, God willing, should be back in September after the races are over, because he gets the early shift at the track. Otherwise, he'd be here with us. But so Wednesday morning, next Wednesday from 9 to 10, we'll start our summer show, and we'll hope that you'll be here. So for Lynn Goodness and I, we want to say heidi ho, and have a
happy
good week.
Happy trails to you.
Okay, Mr. Rogers, that's Lynn Rogers, by the way. And a funny one, Lynn, have you seen the Geico commercial that says everybody knows you can save whatever it is with Geico? And they said, yeah, but do you know there's a lot of people that don't like to play poker with Kenny Rogers? Have you seen that one?
No.
And it shows Kenny Rogers at a table, and he's singing, "You got to know and to hold him," and everybody's waiting for him, and he keeps on singing, and he's looking at the guys, and it takes the rest of the commercial.
Yeah.
And I think you would like that one. Well, goodbye, everybody, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Have a great week.